The Radio Forest Podcast.
Stevie Van Zandt, welcome.
Hey, good morning, Forest. How you doing?
Doing great. Hey, if I could assume, you don't seem very, like, Hollywood. Like, you don't get DUIs. There's not stories of you cheating and running around and getting crazy, paparazzi hounding you. Yet, you're in one of the biggest bands in the world, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, and one of the biggest TV shows ever that people still talk like it's on, The Sopranos. That's amazing.
Well, you know, I mean, it's I love my work. What can I tell you? I mean, I'm the luckiest guy in the world, and it's from the luckiest generation in the world ever. You know, and I've had some wonderful opportunities in my life, and so, you know, who has time for gossip? You know, who has time for Page Six? I'm too busy working.
I want to give you kudos after seeing you, you know, for like 40-some years live and pictures and interviews. So impressed with how Lilyhammer and The Sopranos, to me, you're completely unrecognizable. That is so amazing. I thought I knew, like, your look, if that makes sense. I don't. It was amazing. Like, physically, you changed for those roles.
Yeah, that was really convenient, you know, going through life, you know, with the bandana. You know, it's a wonderful. It became a wonderful opportunity to completely change my look. You know, when you're acting, and that's important. I mean, I really found it important because I wanted to look in the mirror and see the guy that I'm portraying. You know, that really helped me as an actor. To this day, I don't know how actors act looking like themselves. I think that's quite a extra challenge. But for me, you know, I needed to create my guy from the outside in, and so I was able to do that, and so I was, you know, I convinced myself that I'm that guy when I walked out of that trailer and onto that set, I was that guy, you know, because I could see him.
We're talking to Stevie Van Zandt from Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, an incredible activist. We talked about his acting, and he's got a book called Unrequited Infatuations. Now, Stevie, Bruce just had a birthday. It's got to be impossible to get him a birthday gift, right? Or do you just say, like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to give you a text. I've known you my entire life since our teen years. Or what do you do? How do you get somebody that has that much success? Like, what do you possibly buy him that he couldn't already have?
Well, usually when I see him, you know, Christmas or his birthday, whatever, you know, I usually just get him a book or something, you know, something I'm reading, you know, something that just might interest me that I think might interest him, you know. You know, once upon a time, my gift to him was Barack Obama's book, you know, which ended very well, you know. He ended up getting involved in his campaign, and they became good friends. But so you know, you try and share something, you know, that you know, because we have been friends so long. I mean, you know.
And let me talk about some of the earlier parts of your book and how jealous I am, because I feel like an era has passed, a door has closed. I don't know if anybody can ever go through the experiences you had when you and Bruce just kind of knew each other, and you guys are both in bands, ended up in bands together. But you see bands at the Fillmore East for $5 and unbelievable acts. And you see this little act in a club called Jimmy James and the Blue Flames before he was Jimi Hendrix. Tell me about seeing all these bands and just, wow, what an era.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, you can't help but feel lucky growing up in that Renaissance period, you know. When the greatest art being made was also the most commercial, there was just something fantastic every couple of months. You know, another great band would come, and you know, you'd see them. I saw Jimi Hendrix in a college cafeteria. You know, you'd see people in a skating rink. You know, and then Bill Graham built the Fillmore East, which was a huge upgrade, you know, in our rock and roll culture to theater level. But even that was, I don't know, 1,500 or 2,000 people, I forget. But nothing really big. And you would just see everybody, you know, you'd see them in a theater. There was no real arena shows until until the Rolling Stones did it in 1969. I mean, the Beatles were an exception. You know, they're playing stadiums. That was really, really an exception to the rule. And that even that only happens for a couple of years. But mostly you'd see people in theaters, you know. And so, you know, literally, yeah, for $5, $6, you know, you'd see Miles Davis, The Who, and The Grateful Dead or something.
Man.
That would be
yeah.
like one bill. Yeah, I mean, you know. you can't help but feel lucky. And that's why I started my radio show, really. I wanted to pass along that excitement and that kind of, you know, the greatness of that era. You know, I wanted to make sure people had access to it, you know, and it wasn't just something of the past, but I wanted young people to be able to experience some of that greatness and make sure they had access to it, you know.
Yeah, Stevie has a radio show called The Underground Garage, so he's trying to cultivate the bands he's talking about and the feeling in the era and give bands their shot, which is phenomenal. He's been doing it for a long time. Now, Stevie, did you ever get a chance to talk to Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine and Audioslave prior to him joining the E Street Band, or afterwards, which I assume at some point you guys have been friendly, right? Now that that era of Springsteen is kind of gone, and I'm sure it's on good terms.
Oh, yeah, no, we're very friendly. Did I know him before? I don't know. I don't think so. I think I probably met him when he came on stage with us for the first time. But he was at they did a tribute to me at some place, and he came in. And he said, you know, that Sun City was his introduction to politics, and of course he's been very, very, very political ever since. So, you know, I was very proud of that. I think a lot of people have said that to me, that was their introduction to politics, and he was one of them. You know, so that was really a nice compliment to hear from him, and of course I support him and. We play his solo records, you know. Anything that comes close to fitting in our format, you know, we try and play it.
How many songs does Bruce know? I mean, there's probably not even a number, right? It's hundreds of songs that you guys might cover live in a year.
Oh, on tour, you mean?
Yeah, with the E Street Band.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Geez, people were counting them for a while. I'm sure there's a count somewhere, but we'll do, you know, I don't know, 130, 140, 150 songs or...
Wow.
Or so in the course of a tour, maybe more. I don't know, but somewhere in that, you know, somewhere in the mid, in between 100 and 200. We take requests from the audience, so you know that you know you get a different song every night. But that's fun. It's fun to do that. You know.
Well, he's got endorsements from both Paul McCartney and Bob Dylan on the new book called Unrequited Infatuations. It's Stevie Van Zandt, the activist, the actor, the musician. Stevie, complete honor, man. I appreciate your time today, and I really love the book.
Well, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate that, and hopefully we'll see you in person someday soon, I hope. Yeah, we got to get back on the road, right?
Yeah, looking forward to shows. Anytime you're ready, I'm there.